Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton, a.k.a. This is available on all platforms, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on X / Twitter at Sports Business. That's SPORTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. That's sportsbusiness. That's SPORTZBIZNESS@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out that X thing, but it is what it is. Coming up on today's show, we will talk about some week two of the NFL, my winners and losers. We're also going to talk about NBA Media Day being back in session, so you know what that means. A whole bunch of high school drama for no damn reason. And then before we get up out of here, we'll definitely go into the dummy of the day. But first things first, like I said last week, there was no show. Your boy basically went to the Bay Area twice over the span of 10 days, so my boy Sergio, my boy Clayton, and my sister, we all actually got to go sit. We had VIP seats to the Niners home opener. So we Niners against the Giants, so we got to go check that out. It was really, really dope. And then I caught a flight, came right back home here to Vegas. Me and my brother-in-law, we ended up going to the Raiders-Steelers home opener, where I did not realize how many, like, I knew the Steelers fans traveled really well, but I honestly could say it might have been about 65-70% Steeler fans up in Allegiant Stadium, which is really, really embarrassing if you think about it, being the fact that it was a home opener for the Raiders. So it was really, really dope to kick with my brother-in-law. We had a great time. And then Monday, I hopped on a plane back to San Francisco. My boy Ben, my boy Sergio, and then my sister, we went to the Giants game, against the Padres. And then the rest of the week, I was actually at work, so really, really good time to catch up some of my colleagues as well as far as my day-to-day operation. Been really, really busy. Really good to just get back home, sleep in my bed for more than just two nights over the span of the last 2 weeks. So really, really good. But yeah, that's where your boy went. But while I was away, I kept seeing this trailer. When I don't do too much, you know, everybody be like, yo, do you watch a lot of TV? Nah, not really. If it ain't sports, I'm not really watching TV. But I did catch this trailer all summer long that just had my attention, where I had to just tune in. I ended up seeing the Golden Bachelor's trailer, and I was just trying to figure out, how is this old man who's 71 years old with hearing aids and a whole bunch of Polydent in his mouth going to try to collect all of these girls? So inquiring minds wanted to know, and I watched the show. I watched the first episode, and much to my expectation, it was pretty much a sideshow. So I'm almost kind of hooked. So I'm actually got this thing scheduled on my DVR for it to run. I believe it comes on either Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Wednesdays or Thursdays, I don't know. But it's on my DVR, and I'm fully vested into this Golden Bachelor. So email me, man. Y'all rocking with the Golden Bachelor or no? It's definitely something that is in my rotation right now for some odd reason for this fall lineup. Also, this past Saturday, had a real, you know, your boy got back in Friday night, went to a birthday party. Saturday, we threw a huge party here at the pad. Had a whole bunch of family members, friends come over for the Canelo-Charlo fight. Come on, Charlo, you're going to have to do a little bit better than that. That wasn't nothing but a glorified sparring match, bro. I mean, dang, dog. You went out there and just was out there playing pity-pat with some mittens, and you got put on your butt, and you didn't do nothing else, man. So I'm going to need Charlo, you know, the Charlo boys to do a little bit better, man, but that's neither here or there. But anyways, my NFL week, we're in week four. I don't know why I said week two earlier, but we are in week four of the NFL season, which is crazy that we've already breezed through the first month of the season already. But, you know, we got to do my winners and losers. Winners.
Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that nobody including me
shot this year, because I was just like, LOL, it's Baker Mayfield. What do you expect? You know, he's going to give you one good game and you're going to keep it pushing. Much to the delight of my homeboy,
Davis, Monty Davis, who
he texted me the other day. He was like, the Buccaneers don't get no love. And I was like, nah, bro, it's Baker Mayfield. Like, he gets his, you know, he gets his 15 minutes of fame, and, you know, it's time for him to fade into the back. But he has not done that so far. He has actually been balling out. Granted, the injury to Mike Evans, I don't know how significant it is. It is a hamstring injury, so we shall see.
But I think they have a bye coming up this weekend, so they may be able to stretch them out a little bit more. But, you know, they've turned some heads around, and much to my expectations, I thought New Orleans kind of was probably just going to walk over everyone in the NFC South, just being the fact that they have probably the most, the most capable quarterback or the most consistent quarterback in Derek Carr. And I really didn't have no faith in, I don't even know who the hell Atlanta's quarterback is. What's his name? Ritter, whatever. Him, that dude. Then you got the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young, where I don't know, dog. I'm not going to count them out yet, but I'm just going to say I don't know. So you have that situation. And then you got the Buccaneers, where it was between Baker Mayfield and I forgot who the other dude they had, but from the balls that were being thrown around there, it didn't look good during the OTA. So, you know, I really didn't have any, you know, I didn't have anything vested to the Buccaneers to say that they was going to ball out, but they've kept it together. So, shout out to them. A good end division win against the Saints yesterday. Shout out to them, man. So, the Bucs is giving out, you know, one of my game balls for this week. Number two. And this team is very, very interesting. And I posted this on social media yesterday. I said, I don't know how good the Houston Texans are. I don't know if they're a playoff team. I don't know if they are a plus, you know, a 9-8 team or 8-9 team. I don't know. I really don't know. However, this is what I do know about them. D'Amico Ryan's got them boys playing hard. And also, it's safe to say that C.J. Stroud, as of right now, if you look at the numbers, right now, today, he's a top 10 quarterback. I'm not saying that in the season, or, you know, how's he going to end up at the end of the year, but his stats right now, he's looking very top 10-ish as a rookie, which, if you think about it, Ohio State has never been able to produce any sustainable quarterbacks of this magnitude. You know, before C.J. Stroud, it was supposed to be Justin Fields, and Justin Fields, I'm not going to put the word bust next to him, but it's looking very bust-ish next to his name. Then you had Troy Smith, who won probably like the most unexcited Heisman Trophy ever, and I think he only played 3 games with the Ravens. Kirk Herbstreit, I don't even know if he ever played the pros. So Ohio State has never been able to produce legitimate NFL-worthy quarterbacks. So C.J. Stroud has shown me a lot. And like I said, I don't know where this team will land or how far they'll get. But as of right now, for the first 4 weeks, they played really, really good ball. They beat Jacksonville, and they ended up beating whoever they beat yesterday, which I believe it was the who was it? I'm drawing a blank right now. They beat. Let me roll it up. Let me see. Let me roll the tape on here. Should have had this up. And of course, they beat whoever they beat yesterday. My internet's acting slow right now. But they beat whoever they beat. They beat the Steelers, and they beat them very, very bad too, 30-6. So I think that the Texans are onto something. D'Amico Ryans has them boys playing really hard. C.J. Stroud, as of right now, within the first 4 weeks of the season, looks very, very, very comfortable. My next set of winners is the Buffalo Bills. For Buffalo Bills to practically, essentially put up a 50 burger next against the Miami Dolphins, who the previous week put up 70 points, is pretty impressive. And I know before the season had started, I said that I expect Buffalo to take somewhat of a step back. I'm not willing to say that I was wrong on that take just yet, but that take may be a bad take pretty soon at the way Buffalo is playing. You know, they had that one-off game against the Jets at the opening season, week one. And ever since then, they've really mollywopped a whole bunch of teams. You know, they mollywopped on the Raiders next week. They beat whoever they beat last week. I think it was the Commandos. I think that's who they played. It was against the Commandos. They sat there and whooped up on them. And then they beat up on the Dolphins. So you can say, you know, the Raiders and the Commandos game last week were some outliers, but at the end of the day, they played a pretty good team this week in the Miami Dolphins, who a lot of people were already kind of trying to ascend them to the top as far as maybe that's the team that's going to dethrone the Buffalo Bills, and they kind of humbled them. And Josh Allen has not been as reckless with the ball. He's been giving the ball to Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. Dalvin Cook's brother, I think his name is James Cook, has been a pretty good running back. The defense has been good. I know that that Davis injury, the cornerback who just tore his Achilles, that's going to be a huge deal. However, on the flip side, I believe Von Miller will be coming back very, very soon. So if their pass rush can still be as ferocious as they can, maybe it will put a little bit of pressure off of the DBs where they won't have to do as much, because you now have a pass rush that is going to get to the quarterback a lot faster, which means that the quarterback will be a little bit more susceptible of making more bad decisions, where the DBs can probably capitalize on that. But we shall see. My next set of winners are the New York Jets, the little engine that could. And I don't know how good the Jets are, but I do, for them to go down 20-0 against the Kansas City Chiefs last night, where they could have nailed it in, and for them to put on a show last night and came very, very close, you know, some controversial calls at the end of the game. Zach Wilson probably had his best game as a pro, and I don't know if that translates to a, you know, something that's a little bit more consistent, but we shall see. But as of this week, you know, he had a good game. He looked like a really good quarterback, was throwing the rock around and didn't really turn the ball over all like that. And really, Pat Mahomes is the one that was out here just being too loose with it. And I think he threw like 3 picks yesterday and just looked bad. However, Pat Mahomes, when it was time for the lights to shine a little bit brighter, he made the plays that needed to happen for them to win the game. But Zach Wilson, to what Coach Robert Saleh said yesterday, if he continues to play the way that he's playing, they may win some more football games. So we shall see. We shall see. And, you know, those are my week 4 winners. My week 4 losers. Hey, man. Maybe we need to start looking at Bill Belichick as the one that was riding the bus and not being the bus driver. Or we need to start looking at Mac Jones a little bit interesting and say that, hey, maybe Mac Jones just had a group of All-Americans where he was throwing the ball to, handing the ball off to Najee Harris. I believe Jalen Waddle was on that team, Devontae Smith. Henry Ruggs was on that team. So there was a lot of fluff there where maybe Mac Jones was just the bus, you know, rider. I don't know, but I do know that the Patriots, they just stink. They are not good at all. So the Patriots, for them to go to Dallas, Ezekiel, it's homecoming, and for them to just lay an egg the way they did, it's pretty disappointing. But also, there is a little bit of Patriot fatigue, where this team was so dominant for almost, 20 to 22 years or so, that, you know, maybe it's time for them to come out the paint. The Bills do on them. And it's time for them to come out the paint, and it's time for them, for a new team, to kind of rise to the top and claim that dominance. But the Patriots don't look good at all. I know that there wasn't really too many high expectations with them, and I know a lot of people were saying that they could be probably a 9-8 team, maybe sneak into the playoffs, but you can kiss that game goodbye. Excuse me. It ain't happening. So my next set of losers, just losers or just bad luck, but the Cincinnati Bengals are starting to look like the Cincinnati Bengals before Joe Burrow got there. And this is the first year that they have Joe Burrow, and they don't look good. So, and I know that he's hurt, but that offensive line is just lemon booty, just sour. You would have thought that they got Orlando Brown Jr., who came from the Kansas City Chiefs, to solidify that offensive line and help them out. But man, they just don't look good at all. And I know that when they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, the smart route was to go get a lineman, but they didn't do that. They went to go get Ja'Marr Chase, which hindsight, it was the right move. But I thought that they addressed the O-line issues a little bit more this offseason, but man, they don't look good at all. You know, they haven't been able to run the ball. Like I said, Joe Burrow's, he's playing out there with one leg. And I at this point, with them being, 1-3 now, I would strongly consider possibly resting Joe Burrow for a game or two. You've already had 2 losses within your division, and if you want to make any type of run for the playoffs on the back end, you might need to save him for the long run, unless you just want to chalk the season up for a loss, which I don't feel like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and all those other guys there, the veterans, Joe Mixon there, I don't think those guys are in that type of mentality where they would kind of chalk it up. They seem like those guys still want to play. They got something that they're playing for, and they're going to play hard. So I don't know what they look like, but whew, man, it's not coming together this year. So that's another set. The Chicago Bears, man, y'all was in the loser bowl with the Denver Broncos, and y'all should have won that game, and somehow y'all let Denver rip off, 31 points yesterday? I think the Bears were up, 28-7 or 28-0. And for them to just rip off 31 points like that on y'all. And I know it's a first year coach, but good golly, Miss Molly. Ooh, I don't know. The Bears have been so disappointing this year. And I know that I had them as somewhat of a dark horse team. I thought that Justin Fields with DJ Moore, with a little bit of help on the O-line, with that defense being above average, would be better than what they were. And they weren't. They played great in the first half. They played probably that might have been Justin Fields' best game as a pro during that first half. I think he completed like his first 16 passes. And threw for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, only turned the ball over once or twice. And Denver, who had literally just given up 70 points the week before, it was in their hands and they just couldn't finish it out. And now I think that's 14 straight losses for the Bears. With Justin Fields as their starting quarterback. I don't know if this dude is a bust, but if some people are going to start crowning him as a bust.
I don't disagree with it. I'm not going to say I like that take, but there is a part of me that that feels that way. So we shall see.
It doesn't look good for the Bills at all this year. It just does not. And my last set of losers.
San Diego Chargers. I mean, not even San Diego Chargers, whatever they're called. The LA Chargers, whatever. How Brandon Staley I've never seen a dude literally trick off his coaching career as much as, I've never seen nobody want to get fired as bad as Brandon Staley of the Chargers, the head coach of the Chargers, tricks off as many games as he does. He tricks off that fourth, he always goes for it on fourth down, pretty much gets Justin Herbert's finger broken yesterday because of a fourth and one that he wanted to try to sneak and it didn't work, and got his hand all smashed up and still got the turnover on downs. And somehow Asante Samuel was like, nope, I am not going to trick this game off. We are going to win this game. And still, they almost managed to lose that game. After being up, I want to say it was 21-7 or 3. And they almost gave that game away. Luckily, they were playing against the Raiders, which, I mean, it's for as much slander as Brandon Staley gets, it is officially time to start giving that same energy to Josh McDaniels. How Josh McDaniels still has a job is mind-blowing to me. He has won only his first 6 career coaching games when he was with Denver, and I think he has only won 7 games since then. How this dude has a job, I don't know, but I know that the Raiders didn't have as much expectations as they did this year, but he should have got fired against, I could think of 3 different scenarios. They lost against Jeff Saturday, who was a high school football coach and an ESPN analyst. Lost to the Indianapolis Colts on Jeff Saturday's first ever coaching game. Lost to the LA Rams on a Thursday night game where Baker Mayfield had literally just came off the block. Didn't even know players' names because he was so brand new. And was literally out here drawing up sandlot plays and they lost that game.
Daniel still has a job. It's mind-blowing. But I still got to put the Chargers in there as losers just because.
There's ways to trick off games. And it's I don't know what they got to do. What does it take for them to... For the Chargers ownership, for them to finally wake up and smell the coffee and say, hey, it's time to get rid of this fool, but it's getting close. Now, those are my week 4 winners and losers. Today is NBA media day, so that means training camp is opening up as of, I think, like tomorrow. I think there's even some preseason games in Dubai with the Mavericks and, I want to say the Timberwolves are in Dubai right now with their media day. So, last week, we had a little bit of NBA blockbuster trades. We had Damian Lillard of Oakland, California. Shout out to my hometown. Go out to the Milwaukee Bucks in return for Drew Holiday and DeAndre Ayton and some other people with Phoenix Suns in a 3-player trade. And then as of yesterday morning, the Trailblazers flipped Drew Holiday to the Boston Celtics and got Robert Williams and Malcolm Brogdon and a couple of first-round draft picks in return. Key takeaways about this. Immediately, the first thing I thought of was, dang, Scoot Henderson done got more support than Dame Lillard. And he hasn't even played an NBA game yet than Dame Lillard has gotten in what? How long is Dame there? 11 or 12 years in Portland? So they already given Scoot Henderson the keys to the doggone car, the keys to the car, and he hasn't proven a damn thing. Meanwhile, Dame Lillard was out there just giving his mind, body, and soul to this franchise, and he couldn't get no type of help. You mean to tell me you get a former number one overall pick in DeAndre Ayton when DeAndre Ayton does feel like playing basketball? He is, top 5 to 7 big when he wants to play. You go get Malcolm Brogdon, who is a floor general, who has a high basketball IQ. And then you also get Robert Williams to come off the bench to help back up DeAndre Ayton, who I told you all 1,000 times on this podcast, give me a guy like Robert Williams all day, every day, any day, because I just love Robert Williams' motor. Like, the dude, when he's healthy, he balls out. He's so good. He's a high percentage person, plays really, really good defense, and he's a big that can roam around and clog up that paint. So that was my first thought, was like, dang, they really just think Scoot's going to change things around there. So that was a little interesting. Now, for Dame going to the Bucks, I mean, does that make them better than Philly? Yeah. Does the move make them better than Miami, where everyone initially just assumed he was going to? Yeah. Does this make them better than Boston? I don't know. Maybe. Does it make them better than the New York Knicks? Sure. Does it make them better than the Cavs? Sure. Does it make them better than the Raptors? Yeah. The Hawks? Yeah. All I'm saying is, you notice how I named all the teams in the East. I don't know if this move makes them better than the Nuggets. And we gotta start putting some respect on the Lakers' name. They were in the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers, the Suns. I don't know if those moves will make them better. But Dame finally has never played on a team like this that I can remember that's, you know, as deep, that's got this many perennial all-stars and this much support. Which, that's cool. But also, the Bucks did give up a lot when it comes to Jrue Holiday and what he can do on the defensive side of the ball and how he can really...
from probably 1 to 3, even, depending on the side.
4. So, we shall see.
Boston.
And I think he went to Memphis. Marcus Smart is a great leader, a great passer. Or not really a great passer, but a great defender. And just has another high basketball IQ. I think they got a little bit of that back by adding Jrue Holiday. But I still don't believe in the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown philosophy. Yes, they got Kristaps Porzingis, but I mean, LOL, it's Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, what are we talking about here? So they got a little bit better on the offensive side of the ball. But I just don't know if, you know, if you guys are talking about, hey, these teams are going to be competing for the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, that's cool and all, but are they going to be competing for an NBA championship? I don't know. I think the championship still runs through the West. Somehow I feel like it's going to be Phoenix, Denver, LA, Lakers. You can even throw Golden State in there, which I still have no idea how this Chris Paul trade. I don't even think I've given my take on that. But when I heard that, I was just like, what? I mean, the plan is they're going to try to start Chris Paul. But now after media day today, he said that he's open and coming off the bench. I don't know. Like, Draymond Green's hurt. He got hurt in the pickup game at Chase Center, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, so he's probably not going to start the season on time, which is really unfortunate because this is an old-ass team, and they can't be afforded to have dudes hurt because you're already going to have players that are injured just because they're older. So that means Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to step up his game. This is year 3, so it's about, you know, we're about to see if he is full real or not. I don't know why they didn't go get Dwight Howard after they had tried him out, but apparently they're moving on from him. They wanted to give that other spot to Rudy Gay, who I think is in year 18 or year 19. Like, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot more questions, I think, going into the Warriors season this year than there has been in the past. And I'm at the point as a diehard Raider fan, or a Raider fan and a Warrior fan, that this is the first year this year where I'm like, they could win the championship, or they could be on the outside looking in and possibly being not even a play-in team. Just because Klay Thompson is more susceptible to injuries. Steph has missed a handful of games. Draymond has missed a handful of games. Chris Paul, we don't even know if we're going to have to use some bubble gum and scotch tape just to carry him to the finish line. And there's really not that veteran presence.
So,
disappointed on, you know, with Bob Myers leaving, and I guess Joe Lacob's son and Mike Dunleavy taking over the reins, I'm a little disappointed of the lack of activity that they actually did in this offseason. Like, yeah, okay, we got Chris Paul. I don't know if Chris Paul was the person that's going to solve all these problems this year. I just didn't feel like that's what it was. But that's neither here nor there. The LA Lakers, they made a lot of moves. They're going to put, you know, they got a little bit younger. They got a lot of, you know, I think they got Gabe Vincent, Cam Reddish, and some other players. Austin Reeves had a really, really good summer where he got to be his own dude and become his own identity. And the summer league, or not summer league, but the world championship game. So you got them. You also got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, I mean, depending on when Karl-Anthony Towns wants to play basketball, be a big and not a tall. It's a big difference. Be a big, be play as a big dude and not a tall dude. Then maybe we can start considering the Minnesota Timberwolves to be good. You got Anthony Edwards. You still got New Orleans, which we don't know what Zion Williamson and what girls from the hub that he's dating. And if y'all don't know what the hub is, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. But if he has put all of his hub stories to an end and he's actually gonna stop eating on them damn beignets and etouffees and whatnot, and wants to play basketball, they can be possibly an Eastern Conference final teams. If a lot of people don't realize, the Pelicans were, I think, like the number one team in the West when Zion Williamson was playing for the little bit of time that he played last year. So you got a lot of different questions that need to be answered. So when I say Dame going to the Bucks, yeah, that's cool. That helps. That makes the Bucks a little bit better, you know. And like I said, Jrue Holiday going to the Celtics, that makes them a little bit better. But I still think the championship is still going to come out of the West. Now, two more things that have changed this year. The stupid in-season tournament. I don't know what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't know what we're doing. And I don't know if this is going to get players to play. I don't know what Adam Silver was thinking. But no one is going to care about NBA basketball prior to December the 25th. Just telling you that right now. I don't care if you put that damn NBA season tournament in March. No one's going to watch it on a Friday. I think December the 9th here in Las Vegas. No one's going to watch it. People ask me, yo, E, you going? Hell no, I'm not going. I guarantee you. I can guarantee you right now that there will be thousands of tickets that will be given away for that game. I am almost willing to bet my house that there will be thousands of tickets that will be going away. One, nobody really comes to Vegas in December. Two, you're dead smack in the middle of college football bowl season. And possibly, what is that? The NFL is going to be in the middle of their season. No one cares about basketball until Christmas Day itself. And not even really that, because now the NFL is starting to double dabble into Christmas Day. So the NBA doesn't even really get to get their entire shot spotlight because the NFL is migrated on over. So you don't even get that. So I don't know what this in-season tournament is going to do. It's not going to make players want to play any harder. Granted, they've tried to fluff up this load management nonsense, which players are just going to say, yo, you know, I got diarrhea. I'm throwing up. Like, you're going to see so many back spasms and hamstring tightness injuries out of the wazoo. You're going to see so many of these injuries that are just, they don't even sound right. So it's not really incentivizing players to play. Like, whatever. It's only $500,000. Like, James Harden blows through that in one night with Lil Baby. So you got all of that. And I just don't know what Adam Silver was thinking. Like, it's not going to bring more eyeballs to the game. It's not incentivizing, you know, teams. Like, you got to think a lot of your veteran teams, your Lakers, your Warriors, your Bucks, the Celtics. Like, a lot of those players, yeah, like, that's cool and all, but they're not taking them games serious. If anything, you probably just got the Losers Lounge teams like the Orlando Magic or the Charlotte Hornets. Like, this is their championship because they're not going to be able to compete with a lot of these big-time teams towards the end of the season. So you're going to have a whole bunch of, I don't even know, Orlando Magic versus, what's another stupid team? I would say OKC, but for some of y'all really just loving the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dude and Chet Holmgren. But I got to see another year before I'm fully sold on that. So I'm not even going to say the Oklahoma City Thunder because all of a sudden we got Thunder fans around here. The Houston Rockets. You're going to have a whole bunch of Orlando Magic and Houston Rockets fans running around here in Las Vegas. What do those look like? Y'all know what those look like? Because I ain't never seen an Orlando Magic fan. And the Houston Rockets, they ain't been popping since James Harden left. So you're going to have a whole bunch of nobody teams out here, and it's going to look like Summer League. The NBA in-season tournament about to be out here looking like Summer League. A whole bunch of just G League / borderline dudes that barely making it to the league just out here just hooping for $500,000. But, you know, this is what the NBA's gotten into. The NBA's gotten into more off the court drama makes more headlines than actual basketball play. So let's hope that this season is more about the games and not about the pettiness about, you know, who's out here unfollowing people on social media and all this other buffoonery stuff that makes absolutely no sense. So I hope that this season stays more about the actual game than all the drama about players not wanting to play. They want to be traded. They can't do it. They can't play 82 games. Like, this, the last couple of years has made me kind of be on the get off my lawn when it comes to the NBA. They doing everything but talking about the actual game of basketball. So, you know, it is what it is. But before we get up out of here, we definitely got to talk about the sports business dummy of the day. And the dummy of the day, let's see who we got, who we got, who we got. It's probably got to be my man Charlo. My man Charlo, very noble of him to go up two weight classes, but you are going up against possibly the number one guy in all of boxing. And you ain't have no game plan, dog. Like, you just went in there and you just said, well, you know, boxing is about making as much money as you can. I mean, what are we talking about, bro? Do you love the sport or not? If you don't,
you want to get the bag,
collect it, fork over $85 just for you to be rocking around here and just being a little, you know, just being a punching bag, and you just out here getting knocked up upside your head all night long. And then you got the nerve to talk about you going to call out some other people, and such as a one Terrence Crawford, who's possibly the greatest pound-for-pound boxing, the current number one pound-for-pound boxer who could possibly arguably go down as one of the greatest pound-for-pound boxers of all time. And you out here calling these people out. Just take a chill, man. You're doing too much. You got your head rocked. You was out here looking like Boo-Boo the Fool. You got your cookies taken. And it is what it is. Just take the L and keep it pushing, man. So, Jermella Charlo, you definitely get the Sports Business Podcast Dummy of the Day, man. You just disappointed me on so many levels. Not only one, because I thought you were going to win, because I actually thought you had a chance of winning had you just stuck to the game plan of boxing and not trying to fight this dude. But you didn't do that. You went in there and went rogue and you did your own thug thizzle. So, you know, I can't do nothing but knock you for that, man. But that is it. That is this week's Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton, a.k.a. Mr. Town Business. Like I said, this podcast is available on all platforms. So wherever you get your podcast from, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Like I said, email me. Is y'all down with the Golden Bachelor or not? Because I'm fully vested in it. I'm in it to win it. You can email me at sportsbusiness, that is sportsbizness at gmail.com. You can find me on the Twitter /Xverse at sportsbusiness, that is at sportsbizness. We did a show once a week. Until then, we are going to run it back next week. But until that time, much peace, much love, and we will see you next week. We're out of here.